Hello, this is your volunteer broadcaster, Cecilia, bringing you this week's Bedtime Stories program on Sun Sounds of Arizona. In today's program, we will read If You Plant a Seed, Strega Nona Does It Again, and a couple of stories from Days with Frog and Toad. Let's read If You Plant a Seed, Words and Paintings by Kadir Nelson. If you plant a tomato seed, a carrot seed, and a cabbage seed, in time, with love and care, tomato, carrot, and cabbage plants will grow. So far we've seen a rabbit and a mouse, and they've dug a hole, and the mouse is putting a seed in the ground. And then the mouse and rabbit are covering up the seed, and they're staying up at night reading, and then they're sitting by their plant as it grows, and it's raining outside. And then the plants are growing, and they're lying down on their backs in the sun, waiting for the plants to grow. And now the rabbit and the mouse are so happy, they're dancing, and now the tomato plant has tomatoes, and the carrots are growing underground, and the cabbage is growing. Oh, and now there's the rabbit eating one of the carrots, and the mouse is eating one of the tomatoes. And there's some birds starting to fly in. And there's the rabbit and the mouse, and they're kind of guarding their vegetables. And several birds have come in and are looking at what the rabbit and the mouse and the vegetables. There's a cardinal and a blue jay and a dove and a sparrow and a crow. Oh, and there's the birds, and they're all looking out at those vegetables. If you plant a seed of selfishness, in a very short time, it will grow and grow and grow into a heap of trouble. Oh, and so we've seen the rabbit and the mouse, and they're guarding their vegetables. And the rabbit and mouse are starting to kind of yell at the birds, and then the birds are squawking back at the rabbit and the mouse. And now the rabbit and the mouse, they're sticking their tongues out at the birds, they're throwing vegetables at the birds, and the birds are squawking back at the rabbit and the mouse, and they're carrying away their vegetables. The birds are flying away with the tomatoes and the carrots and parts of the cabbage. And then there's the rabbit, and he's sitting, he's got tomato all over him, and the bunny has tomato over it, and the birds have tomato all over them, and it's a mess. But if you plant a seed of kindness, and now the rabbit and the mouse are giving the birds some tomatoes. In almost no time at all, the fruits of kindness will grow and grow and grow. And we see the birds flying away with the vegetables. But now the birds are coming back, and they have bags of seeds, and the seeds are falling out of the bags as the birds fly overhead, and they're planting lots of seeds. And there's the bunny and the rabbit, and they're sitting on the ground, and the seeds are all falling on the ground around them. And now the birds and the bunny and rabbit are planting the seeds, and they're staying up together and watching as the seeds grow into their plants. They're staying up at night, and then in the daytime, as it rains, they're watching the seeds grow. And now it's sunny, and they're all lying on the ground, and the plants have grown. There's the mouse lying on the back of the crow, and the cardinal is sitting on top of the bunny. And now the plants have just grown and grown. There's big sunflowers and all the vegetables. And they are very, very sweet. And there's the bunny and the rabbit and the birds, and they're all sharing the vegetables. And there's even a raccoon and a duck and a rooster. And everyone's sharing the vegetables. They're sitting together eating. The end. Next we'll read Strega Nona Does It Again by Tommy De Paola. The first page has a letter on it, and it reads, "Dear Cousin Strega Nona, as you know, our oldest daughter, Angelina, has grown into quite a beauty, which is wonderful and terrible all at once. All the young men of the town are chasing after her. Every night, they keep the whole household awake while they sing love songs. They leave so many flowers and gifts at the gate, we can hardly get in and out. They are a general nuisance. All except Hugo, the son of Duke Fabio. Angelina claims she is in love with him, but he doesn't seem to notice. He's always looking at himself in the mirror. Angelina is very unhappy. My wife and I think the only solution is for her to leave our village until she forgets Hugo. Would you mind if she stayed with you? She can arrive in a few days. Grazie, thank you, dear cousin. Duke Andrea de Limone and his wife. P.S. I want to warn you that Angelina is a handful." "Well," said Strega Nona to Big Anthony and Bambolona, "it looks like we're going to have a visitor. My cousin's daughter is coming." And there's Strega Nona showing the letter to Bambolona and Big Anthony. "It would be nice for you two to have some company your age. I'll give Angelina my bedroom and sleep on the bed in the kitchen. Now that, let's get ready." And here we see Bambolona and Big Anthony, and they're carrying sheets and pillows into the bedroom, and they're all making up the bed and fixing the curtains in the bedroom for Angelina, and there's flowers in a vase next to the bed. "Here she comes, Strega Nona," said Big Anthony, and he's pointing out at a cart in the distance, and there's the horse-drawn cart. "Benvenuto, Angelina, welcome." And there's Strega Nona welcoming Angelina. "Povera me, dear me," Strega Nona said softly, "so much luggage." And there's Angelina has brought many, many pieces of luggage with the letter A on the front for her name. And there's even a bird cage with a bird in it. "Big Anthony, help unload the cart," Strega Nona said. "And Bambolona, please show Angelina her room." And there's Big Anthony. He's looking at all the boxes and luggage. And there's Bambolona bringing Angelina to her room. And there, Big Anthony is carrying all the luggage into Angelina's new room. Angelina was not an easy guest. "I don't like this room. My room at home is blue with pink flowers. I don't eat pasta. At home, I eat fresh fruit. I need a maid. At home, I have a maid. Bambolona, you can be my maid." And there's Angelina, and she's handing Bambolona a maid's hat. "I've never been a maid. What does a maid do?" asked Bambolona. "First of all, she wears a uniform, and she does everything I tell her to do." So now we see Angelina in bed, and Bambalona's bringing her breakfast in bed. And now Angelina's in a bubble bath and Bambalona is pouring water into the bath. And now Bambalona has helping Angelina get dressed in a very pretty blue dress. And Bambalona is now combing Angelina's long red hair and helping her put her hair on top of her head. And there's Angelina posing in her dress and her hair. "I need a footman. At home I have a footman," Angelina said. "Big Anthony, you can be my footman." "What's a footman?" asked Big Anthony. "Well, my footman will wait on me, open the door for me, run errands, and help Bambalona do everything I tell you." "And," Angelina said with a big smile, "you'll get to wear a beautiful uniform, just like Bambalona." And there's Big Anthony, and he's put his uniform on. And now Bambalona and Big Anthony are standing in front of Angelina, who has a list of what she's going to have them do. Big Anthony is carrying tea into Bambalona's room. He's opening the door for her, putting flowers in her vase. And now both Bambalona and Big Anthony are painting her room blue with pink flowers. There's Big Anthony polishing her shoes, and both of them are making her bed. Angelina called Big Anthony and Bambalona to her. "I have this picture of my love, Hugo. Hugo, let's make a shrine for it. After all, we are both the fairest of them all. Gather branches, flowers, anything to make it pretty." And there's Big Anthony and Bambalona, and they're picking flowers, and they're bringing them in to make the shrine outside. And now there's flowers all around this piece of wicker chair, and there's Angelina putting the picture of Hugo on the shrine, and his name is on the shrine. "It's beautiful," Angelina said. "Now let's take a stroll. Footman, you will hold my umbrellino or parasol. Maid, you will walk ahead of me carrying a basket full of flowers. You will scatter petals so I can walk on them instead of the dirty path." And there's Angelina handing Big Anthony her parasol. And there she is handing Bambalona a basket of flowers, petals. And now they're walking, and Big Anthony's behind Angelina holding the parasol over her. And there's Bambalona in front of her throwing petals into the air. And they're walking through the countryside. There's a sheep herder with his sheep. "Ragoso, boy," Angelina called to a child who was playing. "Run ahead to town and tell everyone that Angelina, daughter of Duke Andrea de Limon, will honor them with a visit today, so they should prepare to meet me." And there goes the little boy running off to town. And here comes Angelina with Bambalona throwing petals in the air and Big Anthony following. And they're walking into town, and she's greeting all the townspeople, and little girl is handing her a bouquet of flowers. And now she's posing in her beautiful gown in front of all the town people, and there she's meeting the mayor. Back at home, Stregonona was looking for Big Anthony and Bambalona. "Where did those two go?" she asked herself. "Oh, well, I'll just have to do their chores myself." And there's Stregonona, and she's doing the washing and the sweeping, and she's doing the gardening, and she's milking the cow. "Povera me, dear me," Stregonona said when she saw Angelina's room. "What happened here?" She's standing in Angelina's room and seeing that the walls are now blue with pink flowers. Then Stregonona spied the shrine. "Well, I'll have to do something about all this." Meanwhile, back in town, Angelina waved to the crowd. "Arrivederci tutti, goodbye all. Don't be sad, I'll try to return." "Who does she think she is?" the mayor's wife said. "I hope she never comes back." Later that night, Big Anthony and Bambalona went to see Straganona. "How much longer is she going to stay?" Big Anthony asked. "She keeps me so busy that I don't have time to do my chores." "Me too," chimed in Bambalona. "She has me running around like a crazy chicken. And it's made this, made that, and you should have seen her in town. She bossed everyone around, even the mayor and the sisters of the convent." "Don't worry, my children," Straganona said. "I have a plan." "Angelina," called Straganona, "can you come and join me by your shrine?" "So," said Straganona, "it looks like you care a lot for Hugo." "Oh, I do, Straganona, but he doesn't even know he deserves me," Angelina complained. "Well, maybe we can help," said Straganona, holding up the magic book. "In here is a spell for a potion for young ladies who want husbands. And I have another idea. Because Hugo likes to look at himself so much, why not change the picture in your shrine with a mirror?" "Oh, Straganona, yes, yes, yes," cried Angelina. "But you must be patient, my dear. Let's see what happens." And there's Straganona showing the mirror to Angelina. That night, Straganona wrote a letter to Duke Andrea. "Dear Cousin Andrea, I think I have the solution for your problem. Please come to fetch Angelina, but be sure to bring along Hugo. At any cost, I don't care how you manage it, just do it. Amor e baci, love and kisses, your cousin Straganona." A few days later, a letter arrived. "Angelina, your father is coming to take you home," Straganona said. "And guess what? Hugo is with him." "Now, Angelina," Straganona whispered, "here is the special potion. The minute Hugo sees the shrine, drink it." "What will happen?" Angelina asked. "You'll see," said Straganona. And here comes the cousin, and they're bringing Hugo, and they're being on horse-drawn carts, and there's Straganona greeting her cousin and Hugo. And now Hugo's looking at the shrine and at himself in the mirror. And there's Angelina, and she's drinking the potion. Hugo fell in love with the shrine immediately. "How beautiful," he said, staring at himself. "You really understand me." "We understand each other," Angelina said. And there are Angelina and Hugo, and they're going to kiss, and there's a heart above them. "Will you marry me?" Hugo asked. "Yes, yes, yes," shouted Angelina. "I thought you'd never ask." And now there goes Hugo and Angelina. They're going off in their horse-drawn cart with all of Angelina's belongings and luggage, and they're all waving goodbye to each other. "Arrivederci, goodbye, safe journey and best wishes for a happy wedding," everyone called out as the carts were leaving. "Boy, is he going to be busy," said Big Anthony. "So is she," said Bambalona. "They deserve each other." And there's Bambalona and Big Anthony, they're painting the room white again. "How did you know, Big Anthony?" and Bambalona asked. "Ah, the magic of mirrors," said Straganona. "They were both in love with themselves." The end. This is a reminder that you are listening to Bedtime Stories on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Next, we'll read a couple of stories from Days with Frog and Toad by Arnold Lobel. The first story is called The Hat. On Toad's birthday, Frog gave him a hat. Toad was delighted. "Happy birthday," said Frog. Toad put on the hat. It fell down over his eyes. "I am sorry," said Frog. "The hat is much too big for you." I will give you something else. No, said Toad, this hat is your present to me. I like it. I will wear it as it is. Frog and Toad went for a walk. Toad tripped over a rock. He bumped into a tree. He fell in a hole. Frog, said Toad, I can't see anything. I will not be able to wear your beautiful present. This is a sad birthday for me. Frog and Toad were sad for a while. Then Frog said, Toad, here is what you must do. Tonight when you go to bed, you must think some very big thoughts. Those big thoughts will make your head grow larger. In the morning, your new hat may fit. What a good idea, said Toad. That night, when Toad went to bed, he thought the biggest thoughts that he could. Toad thought about giant sunflowers. He thought about tall oak trees. He thought about high mountains covered with snow. And there's Toad, and he's lying in bed, his eyes closed, and he's thinking of all these big things. Then Toad fell asleep. Frog came into Toad's house. He came in quietly. Frog found the hat and took it to his house. Frog poured some water on the hat. He put the hat in a warm place to dry. It began to shrink. That hat grew smaller and smaller. Frog went back to Toad's house. Toad was still fast asleep. Frog put the hat back on the hook where he found it. When Toad woke up in the morning, he put the hat on his head. It was just the right size. Toad ran to Frog's house. Frog, Frog, he cried, all those big thoughts have made my head much larger. Now I can wear your present. Frog and Toad went for a walk. Toad did not trip over a rock. He did not bump into a tree. He did not fall in a hole. It turned out to be a very pleasant day after Toad's birthday. The next story we'll read from this book is called Alone. Toad went to Frog's house. He found a note on the door. The note said, Dear Toad, I am not at home. I went out. I want to be alone. Alone, said Toad. Frog has me for a friend. Why does he want to be alone? Toad looked through the windows. He looked in the garden. He did not see Frog. Toad went to the woods. Frog was not there. He went to the meadow. Frog was not there. Toad went down to the river. There was Frog. He was sitting on an island by himself. And there's Toad, and he's on the bank of the river, and there's Frog sitting out on the island on top of a big rock, looking out at the river. Poor Frog, said Toad. He must be very sad. I will cheer him up. Toad ran home. He made sandwiches. He made a pitcher of iced tea. He put everything in a basket. Toad hurried back to the river. Frog, he shouted, it's me. It's your best friend, Toad. Frog was too far away to hear. Toad took off his jacket and waved it like a flag. Frog was too far away to see. Toad shouted and waved, but it was no use. Frog sat on the island. He did not see or hear Toad. A turtle swam by. Toad climbed on the turtle's back. Turtle, said Toad, carry me to the island. Frog is there. He wants to be alone. If Frog wants to be alone, said the turtle, why don't you leave him alone? Maybe you are right, said Toad. Maybe Frog does not want to see me. Maybe he does not want me to be his friend anymore. Yes, maybe, said the turtle as he swam to the island. And there's Toad on top of the frog's back. Frog, cried Toad, I am sorry for all the dumb things I do. I am sorry for all the silly things I say. Please be my friend again. Toad slipped off the turtle. With a splash, he fell in the river. Frog pulled Toad up onto the island. Toad looked in the basket. The sandwiches were wet. The pitcher of iced tea was empty. "Our lunch is spoiled," said Toad. "I made it for you, Frog, so that you would be happy." "But Toad," said Frog, "I am happy. I am very happy. This morning when I woke up, I felt good because the sun was shining. I felt good because I was a frog. And I felt good because I have you for a friend. I wanted to be alone. I wanted to think about how fine everything is." "Oh," said Toad, "I guess that is a very good reason for wanting to be alone." "Now," said Frog, "I will be glad not to be alone. Let's eat lunch." Frog and Toad stayed on the island all afternoon. They ate wet sandwiches without iced tea. They were two close friends sitting alone together. And there they are, sitting on top of a big rock on the island, and they have their arms around each other. The end. That's all we have for today. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Cecilia. Thank you for listening. Join us next week for more bedtime stories. Have a great week.